Hey, hey, everyone. It is Thursday, April 11th, 2023. Welcome to Big Screens and TV Streams live from the Grand Forks Best Source Studios. I'm Dale, joined alongside, as always, as Mr. Victor. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing, man? Look at everyone out there.
Yes.
All you beautiful, lovely people.
And producer Paul's in the booth. He'll be joining us momentarily here. Join us live every other Thursday at 1 p.m. We want to hear what you guys have to say. We got live chat open and rocking and rolling. So if you're watching on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook, you could send us a question or a comment. We want to hear what you guys have to say, or call or text them in, 701-213-0863. All kinds of ways to reach out and get a hold of us. Today's show is brought to you by the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make them your go-to dinner and movie destination located in the East Grand Forks River Mall. You can either dine inside the movie memorabilia-packed restaurant in the Shire, you can see some of their awesome memorabilia in the footage behind me, or take your meal to go to the movie you're attending. Awesome feature they have over there at the Shire. Some of this week's featured attractions are Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, Monkey Man, Arthur the King, Kung Fu Panda 4, a special re-release of Shrek 2, the 20th Anniversary Edition, opening tomorrow. And then also opening tonight with a couple sneak peek evening showings, and then full rotation tomorrow, movie I'm personally very excited for, Civil War. We'll be talking it in the new releases portion of the show later on, but you can find the complete showtimes online, rivercinema15.com on their website. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 matinees all day long, and the senior matinee special every Wednesday and Thursday where it's $5.50 matinees. River Cinema has luxury recliners and is family-owned and operated, so check them out, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Okay. All right. Victor, man, it seems like that summer movie season, we're going to be talking about it a little bit in our first review here. That I don't know, Godzilla X Kong seems like kind of like the unofficial kickoff for it, with the type of it got the type of publicity that's kind of saved for like a big summer blockbuster. Did it seem that way, or is it just me?
Honestly, no, it's just both of us here, because honestly, I know it's Paul, because heck, that movie was awesome as heck, and we will be talking about it. We'll be sinking our teeth into that.
We'll be discussing it a little bit. Got a couple opening news items here to talk about first, like we always kind of kick things off here. First news item here, Victor, I got one from you, but the one I got is, and we actually covered this a little bit on Pixel Pros last week, since it's video game related.
Oh, of course.
But I believe it is Paramount, I may have got the studio wrong there, but they announced that Sonic the Hedgehog 3 wrapped production, and it will be out just before Christmas on December 20th.
Yes, and you are correct, it is Paramount.
Paramount release? Yes. Okay, yeah, so Sonic 2 was one of the few films of the COVID-19 era that had a bigger opening than its predecessor. Huge blockbuster box office. And, you know, and the first one, actually, it came out like a month before COVID hit. I know talking to a lot of people, they said it was like the last movie they saw in theaters before the pandemic. So, and Jim Carrey's returning. I know he was kind of teasing that Sonic 2 would have been his last movie, but he's back for Sonic 3.
Yes, this will be his final last movie. And no, I take that back. Sorry. It's not Paramount. It's Universal. So
is it Universal? Okay.
Yes, it is.
I'm actually seeing my notes here. I kind of want to say it was Paramount's biggest three-day opening since 2014. But, you know, I could be wrong. So, Victor, here's a news item from you. The much-speculated Jon Snow spinoff series, which was to serve as a sequel to Game of Thrones, is no longer in development. Kit Harington, the actor who plays Jon Snow, confirmed this, saying, quote, that currently it's off the table because we couldn't find the right story to tell that we were all excited about enough. So we decided to lay down tools with it for the time being. There may be a time in the future where we return to it, but at the moment, no, it's firmly on the shelf.
Yes, sadly enough, I'm glad they kind of shelved this one because there wasn't really enough story to go off of on this one. This was, of course, not counting the House of Dragons and, of course, you know, Game of Thrones, same name respectively, of course. And because Jon Snow and the eighth season, if you all watched Game of Thrones, the eighth season left us kind of high and dry, and it really wasn't what I thought it was. It wasn't bad. The thing about it, what I was really concerned about was the whole objective was to get to Cersei. That was the whole objective of the show. And they just, bleh.
Yeah,
and it was really ridiculous.
I know we've talked about it on the show before, how it wrapped up. Maybe it, just that last season, very underwhelming in certain regards. Not that it was bad, but compared to the previous seasons, the previous season set a high bar. But but I know there are still, you know, House of Dragons next season is still coming, and there's other spinoff series still in the works too. The, HBO and Max confirmed.
Yes, I mean, I really would like to touch on Jon Snow because I like him as a character. I think he was really, really great character. I love how he was a part of the Night's Watch, even though he was forced to be there and he didn't really want to be there, but he was like, their family was separating, they had no choice. Everybody was kind of just like, well, they would one day find themselves back to each other at one point. I will say this, though. At the eighth season, of course, it was a treat for me. I don't know about the rest of you. It was a treat for me because the Clegane brothers, I knew that one day they would take on each other. It was only suckish because I wish the fight was a little bit longer, and I wish the brother who was in the fight really didn't turn into a zombie. And he was more subconscious of, you know, his hateful of his brother, because the two of them, if you actually saw the show, I'm sure you all have, one of the brothers, which is the Hound, as he is well known, he has a huge, like, burn all over his right face.
Yeah,
and,
great character.
Yeah, and of course, the Mountain made that all possible. He hated his brother so much that he took his face and just burned it really to a crisp. And ever since then, like Frankenstein, he was just afraid of fire.
Well, hey, maybe possible spinoff series with him, and with all these other spinoff series, it's so many directions they can go in. Who knows? Maybe HBO will revisit it down the line.
So, I hope so, because it's really good.
We need to move things along with our first review of the show. Kind of, we're teasing as being like the maybe first summer blockbuster. We're talking about Godzilla Cross Kong, the new Empire, or Godzilla X Kong. You know, I see that symbol used in video games. I hear it referred to as like Tekken Cross Street Fighter. They use the X and they refer to it as Cross. Victor, you're way more plugged into it. Do you hear what, is there an official way of saying it?
Technically, it's Godzilla and Kong.
Godzilla.
Like, really? It's just
an
my
X.
it is an X, but honestly, you might as well just say Godzilla and Kong.
I figured it was times. You know, so Godzilla times Kong, you know, because they're going into this huge battle together. So it's
true.
It's not just King Kong, it's Godzilla times Kong.
True, but I don't know. I don't know why they just put the X. Yeah, if they would have just put the X, they would have been like, then if they would have just done that, they would have just said, oh, well, Godzilla Kong Part 5. Like,
so this is a sequel here to the film that just came out a couple of years ago to the last Godzilla and Kong movie, and this is technically the 38th Godzilla film and the 13th King Kong film.
Yes.
Very, very prolific franchises here. So here's the IMDb synopsis just to set it up for you guys, set the table. Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. So you get a lot of the returning cast from the first film. I completely forgot almost all of them except for the main live streamer. Yep, I remember him. He was kind of like the comic relief.
Yeah, the worst part of the movie.
Yes, unfortunately, a lot of his jokes were very cringeworthy. They brought back memories of the parts I did not like about the Michael Bay Transformer movies, his jokes. You know, maybe for the younger crowd, they may have hit more. For other people, they may have hit more. But they were definitely stood out as just, I'm like, oh, no, here's another one. Here's another one.
Yeah, I think once he, oh, go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, if they would have eliminated him from the movie, I think it would have been a lot better.
No, I liked him. I mean, I know he wasn't, you know, his jokes were kind of like, it's okay. But, you know, once he had this human moments, you know, he was really like there, and it's like, all right, I like this guy.
I think it was trying to appeal to kids.
Yeah,
he was. Let's face it,
that was the vibe I got. Yeah, but or maybe they could have just found a way to balance it out a little more. Yeah, but you know, they went with the direction. Director, I had his name right here. He directed the first one, Adam Wingard. He directed. He also directed VHS, The Guest, and You're Next.
Very good movies.
I've heard great things about VHS.
Very good. And You're Next and The Guest, very good movies as well.
So, last film, the thing I remember the most about the first film was that epic final battle where Kong and Godzilla put their differences aside and they took on Mecha Godzilla in an awesome CG just slugfest. I'm like, Paul and I were kind of joking before going into the film. All right, there's probably going to be a dumb focus on the humans leading up to it, but at least in the end, we're going to get a big CG slugfest like the first one. For both of you, did you feel that that delivered on that aspect?
No, I mean, it delivered and then some, because the first part literally wasn't even the humans. They didn't even show the humans. It was just right to Kong and being chased by a whole bunch of monsters. Well, and then I was like, all right, we're getting into this.
Well, it's like when we went into this, we already knew that, okay, the storyline is going to be stupid. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of action.
Of course.
And it's going to be a roller coaster ride of just entertainment.
Oh, of course.
And it delivered on all of that.
Oh, yes.
Was the movie great? No. But was it entertaining?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was entertaining.
Oh, five stars entertaining. And there was a lot of roaring. I think they could have dialed down the roaring a little bit.
No. I mean, they had to at least have roars.
These are monsters.
Yeah, like they had to show their dominance there. It's like, I'm the king here.
But I will say, this doesn't even hold, it's not even in the realm of Godzilla Minus One.
Yes. Okay, yes. 1,000%.
Yes. Godzilla 1,000%. Minus One is a way better Godzilla movie.
Oh, of course. No question. Yeah. Like, that goes back to the old school.
I feel bad because it came out just, not even a year, or maybe just over a year ago. So a lot of people are thinking, you know, you get this very, very, not only do you get, like, the great Godzilla monster movie set pieces that the brand has tried and true known for, you also get, like, a serious drama piece on top of it. And and they hit it out of the park on all fronts. But on here, it's the balance is a bit off kilter.
And it's like, how many realms are they getting into? Because they just keep going, they're in the fourth realm of
the Hollow Earth.
Yeah, the Hollow Earth.
So, for people who may not be unaware, not Godzilla and Kong connoisseurs, they may care to elaborate on the Hollow Earth, because I'm like, what's this?
And what did you think of the the King Kong?
You mean the Scar King?
Yeah. What did you think of him?
That's the main villain.
I was kind of, the villain. Okay. I was a little iffy on that one.
To be fair, and I have to say this because I got to tell you, I love apes. Like, apes are...
It should have been King Louie.
Exactly. And see, this was the really confusing part for me as the villain, like Paul. I thought it was really confusing because I love orangutans. They're one of my favorite species, like my favorite simian species of apes. They are so cool. They have long arms. They literally are the chillest ape species ever. They don't really mess with anyone unless someone's messing with them. And so it kind of was confusing because, I mean, orangutans aren't really aggressive. So, I mean, you could have picked another.
Not only that, but it was like really thin.
Yeah, and he wasn't really, I mean, don't get me wrong, they may be thin, but they're tough as shit. And they will throw you like a ragdoll.
I think that they would have had a better route if they would have made him a baboon. Those are like scary, fierce. Although you would have to deal with like the butt,
which kind of would be a little harder.
That'd be a giant ass.
Yeah.
Well, what did you guys make of? It was very interesting seeing Kong interact with this tribe of lost fellow Kong species that he interacts with. And there's a few scenes in the movie where no dialogue. It's just body language and various degrees of tonal roaring with each other. And at first, I'm like, they're going for scenes with no dialogue. But those few scenes in the film, I think by the end, I'm like, okay, I'm actually invested in these scenes and how he's kind of winning himself over with this clan of Kongs. I thought that was great.
And I'll tell you this, if any of you saw the original, and I'm talking about even the original like Kongs and Godzilla movies, those dudes rocked the suits. Those suits were badass and they were cool. But with this one, they took it to a whole new level. When they did it in the early 2000s, Andy Serkis, the great Andy Serkis, literally did motion capture. He not only did Kong for this version, but he did even Caesar for Planet of the Apes, all the prequels for Planet of the Apes. And the cool part about this one was this was what it needed to be. Kong was just, it didn't need any dialogue, didn't need anything. The body language, you know, the moving with the hands, the aggressive roar and the whole like, you know, smirk and saying like, all right, he can sit by me, or hey, he could be like this, you know, kind of.
Yeah, and they did make it so, you know, obviously Godzilla is the king of Titans. You know,
fair. I mean, he's not the official king, but he's still.
But there was something that I did notice in this movie, and it was kind of upsetting to me. The villain Godzilla. I can't remember
Star King was that it?
No, that was the ice one.
Shimo?
Yeah.
Oh, the Shima. Yeah.
Yeah. The cast of the Ice Age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Kong first like meets that thing, when he brings it out, like it's a big Titan, like Godzilla, but it almost is like bigger than Godzilla. But then there are other scenes where it's smaller than Godzilla, and other scenes is bigger than Godzilla. So they didn't get the perspectives right on that thing, like, throughout the entire movie. It was, like, at some points, like, when he's riding, like, the Scar King was, like, riding it, it was like, okay, now it looks kind of little.
Yeah.
And then in another scene, it's, like, supposed to be, like, super gigantic. And then you got Godzilla fighting it, and all of a sudden Godzilla looks small.
Yeah.
And then in the next scene, it looks, like small compared to King Kong.
Yeah.
It was like the consistency just wasn't fair as far as I could tell.
Yeah. I totally agree with you, because the visual effects, I mean, and let me tell you, they were just all over the place, because I mean, even when they were doing the gravity fight, I mean, you could just see, like Paul said, I mean, when they were going at each other, it was just like, well, he was bigger than Godzilla, but when you look at Godzilla when he's on the ice glacier, he's just like massive. He's got spikes coming out of like every morsel of his body.
Did you think like maybe it could have been like maybe some rushed this is only a 2-year turnaround time. With that much CG involved in a 2-year turnaround time, do you think maybe some scenes could have been rushed a little bit, and maybe they only have so much time to follow up with continuity, and maybe there could have been some oversights?
I mean,
did it give you that impression?
I don't think they cared. It was just special effects overload.
I mean, and honestly, let's face it, you know, when they made, you know, Godzilla Minus One, I mean, those guys, you know, Toho House literally... Those guys did it for real. Every morsel of the OG Godzilla, like, they literally, like, must have gone through hours of color, imagery, everything, just to go back all the way from the original, just to get it perfect to a T. So, I mean, honestly, Warner Brothers, they had the time. They had the skills. And I honestly think, like, that's just an excuse, because if these guys can make an incredible... It won a freaking Oscar, ladies and gentlemen. Like, Minus One won a freaking Oscar.
Yeah, visual effects.
Like, that was amazing. Well, like, that was an amazing movie. If you got to see it. Heck, you go to Japan and go see it.
Longtime viewers know it all ranked on our top 10 movies of the year list. And beautiful. Highly ranked.
Yeah,
and
so it could... But, like, honestly, they could have done better.
And there was kind of an upsetting part of the movie, too, when Kong was... You know, when he's by the pyramids and he's trying to get Godzilla to go into the
portal,
the portal, and Godzilla is about to attack him, and he's like trying to tell him like, no, I'm trying to get you to come here, and it just made King Kong look like a bitch.
No,
you know, I mean, it really did. I mean, he was like he was afraid of him. You know,
I wouldn't say he was afraid.
And then what was with the Iron Man arm?
Yeah, like,
what the hell was that?
It was like the Elysium attachment for Matt Damon there. But no, we're gonna Hulk you up here, and yeah, that was. They made it seem like, you know, like, King Kong doesn't have the strength advantage, so we need to kind of give him their equivalent of a steroid shot.
Not only that, but we just happen to have this like one arm that's been in development that just happens to be here at this, and it's just his hand that just happened to get hurt. Was it the right hand, the left hand? Oh, did they have both? No, they just had that one. It was like, you know...
Deus Ex Machina.
No, it was... Age of Ultron or whatever, where he brings down the suit to try to battle the Hulk.
Oh, you mean the Hulkbuster suit?
Yeah, right. That's basically all it was. It was the Hulkbuster suit, but it was just like for his hand. I'm like, man, this is just like cheesy. Come on.
We should probably wind this down here, keep things moving along. Final thoughts, Godzilla, X-Kong, better than the first one, or still, hey, it's a popcorn movie through and through. Just go in and enjoy yourselves. Final thoughts.
Just enjoy yourself. It's fun. Just, it's fun. So, I mean, go enjoy yourself.
Minus One is the best.
It is.
Godzilla, King of Monsters, is the second. Mm. This one is just...
Somewhere in the pack.
It's just one of the collection. I mean, you know, if you're bored, put it on.
Yeah, but just fill it
enjoy in. The enjoy the surround sound, the special effects. Just kind of have... laundry movie it up.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Just to fill in the collection.
Paul, I have to ask, I know me, you, and your daughter, Ivy, saw it. It sounds like she's starting to become the monster movie fan. How was her thoughts on it coming out of it?
Oh, yeah, she loves the Titan movies.
I mean, to see these monster movies, Titan movies, with those innocent childhood eyes, to go back to that age, you know.
And this is one of those movies that you really do need to see in the theater.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yes. you lose out on the Titan aspect of it.
Yeah.
I am glad I saw it in the theater. I'm kind of in the middle on it, maybe middle leaning down, but there are moments I talked about that I legitimately enjoyed, and other parts where I'm with you, just big, dumb, goofy, slugfest fun. Definitely see it in the theaters, or at least a good surround sound home theater setup, and you should at least have a good time just taking it in for what it is. But,
and lots of roaring.
Yeah. But I will say,
a lot of the roaring. There's no joke about it.
Yes, this is an interesting disparity. Critic Rotten Tomato aggregate, 54%, which is actually higher than I thought it would be. I thought it would be a little lower, actually.
That's what I said.
But audience is really high, 92%. So, oh, wow. Yeah, okay. So there you go.
Well, I'll be damned.
So we are going to move things along here. I think we'll push this next ad break back here just a little bit here. We're going to do our special feature segment here. So we were going to do this last episode, but we decided to save it for this week here. Victor, we'll save your segment here for after this. This is our director's chair segment. Paul, you had this great idea here where we all should just pick a director at random. And just a couple movies from their repertoire. We don't have to go through their movie by movie library, but like just two or three.
We could.
Yes, we could. But in the interest of time, yes. We're just going to pick two or three, just a couple quick highlights, and just have a fun conversation while we kind of nerd out about. Doesn't have to necessarily be our favorite director, but just one random one we want to spotlight. Some that they've either had a lot of love or a little love. Victor, I will throw it to you first to kick things off for us. Who is your directorial pick for our initial director's chair segment?
Now, to be fair, I mean, this was really hard because I've got a lot, and I mean a lot. And being a movie buff, I got to tell you, I can name every director off the top of my head. But I love them all, man, I do. But no one compares to the OG himself, the man, the myth, the legend. God rest his soul, Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick was the man. As Jack Nicholson said, when you come onto his set, everybody acknowledges he is the man. And I still think that underrates him to this day. There is no filmmaker who has made more of an impact upon cinema and who's had more freedom as a director quite like Stanley Kubrick.
What's his top movie?
Top movie, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
That was literally the godsend of
I think we watched that in school, want to say. Yeah.
That was what, like, that cut, literally. Man, literally, ape throws a bone up into the air, and that fucking cut, man, just right to the space center.
How old were you when you first saw it?
Oh, man, I had to be in my teenage years when I first saw that.
What other movies has he made?
If I could throw one in, there was a Stanley Kubrick movie I probably saw when I was like 16, 17 for the first time, and it did a number on me. I'm talking about Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Gosh. Yeah.
I wanted to be the first one.
I think if it probably influenced so many people on what boot camp was for everyone. That drill sergeant, my lord.
Arlie Han, who is actually a real gunnery sergeant, mind you, ladies and gentlemen. He was...
Oh, yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, he is a real-life gunnery sergeant, and he didn't play.
Victor, I'm sorry I jumped in. What's your other Stanley Kubrick?
No, pick? Please. Like I said, I can talk about this man all day. My other favorite one was literally, I remember, was Clockwork Orange. That was one of the most controversial films ever. Not only did that spawn a lot of real-life gangs, but it got so bad that Stanley Kubrick had to, like, get rid of the film from distribution because not only were it inspiring real-life gangs, but, like, his family were literally getting death threats.
Let it cool off a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Like, literally. Like, ever since that movie came out, it's still one of the most controversial movies, and it's still removed from British distribution because of how much hate it got.
All these years later.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Wow, Victor.
And his daughter can literally tell you because she's a documentary filmmaker.
Great pick. Stanley Kubrick, a final sentence or two to just for why he was your pick here in our initial director's chair.
I honestly would, and I got to tell this story really quick because this is one of my favorite film stories ever, was when, speaking of Full Metal Jacket, because it's one of my favorite, Vincent D'Onofrio, who was in it, he was a very young man when he did this movie.
Kingpin.
He literally asked Stanley, because the Warner Brothers executives were coming to observe the film. And of course he asked, he's like, well, where are the Warner Brothers executives? He's like, in that van over there. He's like, are they going to ever get out of the van? They will when I'm done with this shot. And that just shows how much power that man had. Warner Brothers couldn't say shit about him. Yeah. That's how much power he had.
And the other director, the studio execs would be like, hey, go home.
Oh, yeah. But Stanley didn't, he didn't yell. He didn't shout. He even told a DP when he was young, he said, I don't want you to ever, ever move that camera ever again. I want you to put it back where it was. And he didn't shout. He didn't yell. He just told him that. And the guy did it. And this was a professional.
Just like a soft but firm tone, yeah, where just affirmed, they have a don't mess with me voice.
Yeah. And he just like, he absolutely did it.
All right. Well, I will go next here. This is a little tongue-in-cheek pick for myself because I kind of glommed on to this director because none of his movies are legitimately good. He's kind of like a modern day Victor. I kind of gave you a couple clues to him on our off air a couple weeks ago, and you were able to guess him. I was like, "Yep, of course, Victor would get him."
I love him.
So, tongue in cheek director. His movies are almost universally panned, but he's kind of known in circles. He did I want to say it was like 10 or 11 video game movies, and they were all awful. Some are kind of fun, entertainment, cheek, tongue-in-cheek, campy bad, but for the most part, they're just straight-up bad, and not even rewatchable bad. They're just bad. But I'm talking about Uwe Boll. Uwe Boll, the German director. He got the rights to make all these video game movies because he made the original House of the Dead movie. And that did okay enough box office for horror movie standards at the time that a few other horror video game franchises, not really top-notch ones, but signed on with them. I'm like, okay, yeah, House of the Dead did decent movies. And so he signed all these deals to make all these other video game movies. And they were all so bad, but studios kept going with them because by the time that these next movies came out and got really bad box office and critical numbers, it was too late. He already signed deals to make like another 7 or 8 movies, and they couldn't back out of them. So the studios gave them bad press, and they didn't market them at all, and they all did horrible box office. And I brought a couple visual aids.
The visual aids?
I own a few of them here, but...
Did you bring
Blood Rain?
Yes, I knew he didn't bring Blood Rain.
Christina Loken. And he actually got big-name talent. Christina Loken, Ben Kingsley.
How much money did they have to pay that man?
Or no, is he in Blood Rain or Dungeon Siege?
No, he's in Blood Rain. Okay, in Blood Rain.
Yeah, so yeah, this was a big flop. Big flop. They tried. This is the one where people were like, nope, we got to stay away from Uwe Boll. This is bad. And then they did 2 straight-to-video sequels, which were also not good. But I guess it has its fans, kind of tongue-in-cheek bad fans. But everyone was just kind of like, stay away from this guy.
She did look kick-ass in that outfit, though.
Then here, in The Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale, you got Jason Statham. Again, it got big theatrical release, but it did horrible box office. This is kind of like his take on...
It was terrible.
Yeah, this is kind of like really his big opus... his big opus of making a big epic Lord of the Rings type movie based on the Dungeon Siege franchise. And he actually has some other... what was his name? Hellboy.
Ron Perlman.
I don't even know how he got Ron Perlman. He's got all this big name talent in here, and I think Christina Loken is in here too in a smaller role in here, supporting role. I guess she liked Uwe Boll, but
that's what I never understood about.
And
his
you know,
films.
This is actually kind of semi okay, which is glowing praise on the Uwe Boll scale. Not great, but just kind of semi okay.
I give it 2%.
Yeah, but again, this is only 2 hours, but it's probably way too long. And by this point, I believe there's a special feature in here, or maybe on this next one, where Uwe Boll is getting such a bad reputation by critics that he challenges his critics
to a boxing
boxing match for charity. But several critics actually took him up on it because Uwe Boll actually has a legit Golden Glove background in boxing. He's actually a legit proven fighter. And so he shot all these videos. You can find them on YouTube, and they're even a behind-the-scenes extra in a couple of these movies on DVD where he's just knocking the crap out of all of these critics in the ring. You know, they went through a mini boot camp to train, but they're wearing headgear, but he's just wiping the floor with them.
It was so funny.
There's only so... You hear all the time that, you know, all the directors that get panned, if I had a couple minutes in the ring with these critics. Well, Uwe Boll actually did.
He did, and
by the end of it, the critics actually, you know, it's funny, we were interviewing some fighters here on GFBS on a recent show, and they're talking about having mutual respect, and the critics were like, hey, Uwe Boll, power to you.
Really knew his stuff, man.
And then the last one, this is an interesting release, Postal. So do you guys remember that first-person shooter, Postal, where you play as Gary Coleman? It's like very, very risque, very, very satirical, really pushed the envelope. But the Postal, they made a movie out of it, and there's a very – this is only came out, I want to say, like not even 6 or 7 years after 9/11. It opens with a very pushing the envelope 9/11 joke, and they just go all over it. I believe what, Dave Foley Dave Foley. They do some interesting stuff with him. It's about a postal worker who goes postal. And they try to push the envelope with all kinds of just risque humor and comedy. There are actually a couple interesting zingers. It's like they throw so much paint on the wall, eventually a little bit of it sticks. But it's, yeah, just pretty raunchy. Again, maybe a laundry movie in the background, have some laughs. But these are just three of about a dozen movies Uwe Boll did. He also did, I think, yeah, he did two sequels to In the Name of the King, Two Worlds, another video game franchise. He did a Far Cry movie that Ubisoft did not want to publicize at all. And they made sure that I just saw it on Netflix streaming one day. Very, very low budget for, you know, Far Cry. High budget first person shooter game. And he did like Alone in the Dark. He did a movie on that and a handful of others. I want to say it was about a grand total of 10 or 11 movies. You guys, any of these movies ring a bell that I ranted about for a little bit?
I knew all of them basically. And it was funny
House of the Dead actually got a little bit of buzz and Blood Rain did too. But these are like pushing 20 year old movies now.
Well, and like I said, I didn't want to come in when you were telling about the boxing thing, because I honestly was like, dude, I respect him for that. I mean, he takes on his critics, and what I loved about his movies, because they were not so bad that they were good kind of movies, but they were just
bad.
They were really bad.
But see how bad they can get. It's like, all right, let's just see how bad this can get.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But what I couldn't understand about this man, and I still
he's
don't.
Like a modern day Ed Wood, almost.
Yeah, like
almost.
Literally, like I couldn't understand how he got all these incredible, talented these people, like Ron Perlman, Jason Statham, like
he has connections.
Even Ben Kingsley. Ben Kingsley won an Oscar for Sexy Beast. Like, he's an incredible actor. How the hell did he get this incredible actor?
Uwe Boll, Uwe Boll, that's my inaugural pick for our director's chair segment. Paul, very curious to see. I know you've been doing your study, and
he's
very
got a
curious
list
for your pick. He's,
oh, he's got a list.
Yeah, well, I had to look him up because I don't generally know the directors of movies. I just watch the movies.
Fair enough.
And so I had to figure out which directors made which movies.
Fair enough.
And it was a really hard decision to try to come to the director that I think is possibly the best one that's out there.
Fair enough.
Because so James Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy is like one of my favorite movies.
It is really good.
I mean, you know, so like to have him be my favorite director,
it's fair.
That's what you would think, because that's like my favorite, like one of my favorite movies.
Of course.
But I can't go with him. Also, Steven Spielberg. Oh, I mean, I saw Jurassic Park probably 16 times in the theater when it came out.
Oh, classic.
But I had to try to do this on a more of a, I wouldn't say an intellectual level, but like looking at the span of things. So I have to go with James Cameron.
Oh, I knew it. Wow. I knew it.
And there is a reason for that. There is a reason for that. Okay. For one, Avatar.
Yes.
Was astounding.
Oh, yeah.
Alita is just just an entertaining movie altogether. I think that they're coming out with a sequel to it now, which I've been waiting for years.
You and me both.
That's at huge CG standards when it hit. Yeah.
And then, but you look at, so like, that's why I didn't go with James Gunn, because he's got Guardians of the Galaxy, Suicide Squad, Dawn of the Dead, 13 Ghosts. Those are all kind of like in a niche category. Mm. But then you have James Cameron that has Avatar, but then he also made Titanic.
Yes.
And Titanic is just like totally, you know, away from that style of movie that you would think. And
whole different spectrum.
Yeah, one of the most expensive movies that man ever made. And he did it with his own budget, mind you.
Now, granted, I'm not a huge fan of Titanic as far as, you know, the DiCaprio love story thing.
Oh, of course.
But the way that he made the Titanic come to life in the movie was astounding.
And the whole shipwreck scene. Yep. I'm kind of the same way on Pearl Harbor. I'm like, okay, lovey-dovey first 70% of the movie. But when it comes time for the bombing scene, yeah, I'm with that exactly on Titanic.
Yep. But there is one that just really set it off. And it's because there have been so many movies that have taken off from this movie, and so many ways that the storyline has been completely, you know, shifted throughout the years. Can you name it?
If we're going to say Terminator.
Original?
Because we've Terminator, had this discussion on this show before, ladies
and gentlemen. We're dealing with AI right now. And Terminator, this came out in, what was it, like 86 or something?
The first one came out in 80, and then the other one came out in 92. So.
And, yeah, I mean, that is revolutionary stuff right there. Oh, so yeah. I got to give it to James Cameron.
James Cameron.
Woo! And you also got to give it to my man who is no longer living anymore, Mr. Stan Winston. That man had animatronic gold written all over him. He not only did this movie, Terminator 2, and, of course, the first Terminator, but he did Jurassic Park as well, which is, of course, Paul named out of Steven Spielberg, of course. That man did that movie justice, so, and it was kick-ass.
Hopefully, we enlightened your eyes here to some great, great movies here. If people in the chat watching now or after the fact, we want your recommendations for your favorite director or just a random director you just want to give some love to, shed some light on. We want here in the chat, we want to give some movie recommendations or hear some movie recommendations from you so we could get a bowl of popcorn ready and enjoy some awesome cinema.
And we got it, and honestly, if you can, please someone talk Wes Anderson. That man's panning, dude. Oh my God. God, I love that man. His panning is just, his movies are like theater, and that's what they are, is theater. But,
all right. Yes. Victor, I'm going to throw it to you here next. I know you got some updates for us here. It's time for your latest Marvel, DC, and other comic book movie news and other entertainment properties.
Oh, guys, I got a wallet for you today, because man, oh man alive. It appears that some people, when they star in superhero movies, they get a little money, get a little big for their britches at times. But apparently, Miss Kristen Dunst, if you all don't know who that is, she had a very promising career in her younger years, you know, with movies like Bring It On, Melancholia,
Wimbledon.
Virgin Suicides.
Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, yes, absolutely. When she was young, Interview with the Vampire, I mean, she was killing it.
Original MJ.
Oh, literally. And she not only killed it in those movies, but she was going ham in and you know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, in the 2000 Spider-Man movies. She literally killed it as MJ. But apparently she didn't think so when she was in her early 20s. She wrote a report to Vanity saying she got underpaid and she wasn't very happy about the pay gap.
Just now, recently?
Yep, wow. She wrote it back not even too long ago. She talked about, when I was in my 20s, I didn't know very well, and you know, I wanted to see what kind of movie it was. You did know better, Kirsten. Okay, the movie's not called Spider-Woman. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, really quick, when you star in a movie that is really big, like this one, okay, the movie is not about you. It is about Spider-Man, okay? And Tobey Maguire is Spider-Man. He's going to get paid more because he is the star. So he got paid millions, literally. The first was million. The other two made billions after that. So he was making twice that amount as he was back then. So, I mean, James Franco, he's like, well, I'm a supporting actor. I can't help that. He's the star. I'm the supporting actor. And that's what Kirsten Dunst needs to know. She is the supporting role. She's going to get lower pay. Unless the movie's called Kirsten, well, sorry. But yeah, she is now.
Is there any interesting fallout from that? Or?
It was actually, to follow up on that. She actually said, well, I'm going to star in another superhero movie because apparently you make billions of dollars just starring in these. Yes and no, you don't. apparently, she forgets when you do star in them, there's only a certain amount of percent you will get money from these superhero movies. This is because unless you're a big-name actor, much like Chris Hemsworth, who got paid billions for all his Thor movies, as well as many of the Avengers movies he starred in, you're probably going to see, 5% of that cut, if anything. So, I mean, you will get paid. Don't get wrong. You will get paid. Just not as much as other people who have been in this franchise longer
than I'm sure she's really struggling.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the same thing. You're not struggling, honey. You did a bunch of movies that were great. Heck, you did a movie called Dick, which was about the evil man himself, Nixon. So, I mean, you were paid a bunch of money for that movie, so you should have no problem making money that you did. And you're starring in a new movie right now, Civil War. It's been years since she's, like, done a movie, and she's doing an independent movie.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where I probably need to see the numbers to see how much she got paid versus he got paid to see what the gap is. There's a amount in my mind where I'm thinking, all right, you know, she played a noteworthy role in those movies. She was a big part, but, you know, obviously Peter Parker was the main attraction.
Yes, but to be fair, she wasn't even in the movie that much. In fact, I want to say like 40%. He was in it 90% because it was about him.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you're and I'm being generous with the numbers.
Not only that, but has Kirsten Dunst ever acted as anybody other than Kirsten Dunst? She's like Denzel Washington to me. She's just the same person.
We're getting to dangerous territory here. Denzel Washington is a respectable man.
Paul's trolling us. We've had that rundown before.
I know.
Victor, we should move on. Any other updates for us?
Yes. Again, Batman's birthday again, man, because heck, they're celebrating another 80th anniversary of the Batman, of course, because Batman's kick-ass, dude, and come on, he's the Batman. And they're also talking about a new animated feature with the Batman Beyond franchise.
So that was a great series for a day that kind of got overlooked a little bit.
Oh, absolutely, and it's going to be a movie very soon. They're kind of just inching at it. They say, why don't we have a Batman Beyond movie? Well, without the gate. You know, great Kevin Conroy, it's kind of hard to do it. But they've already cast a live-action movie already in the works. Not only that, but The Man of Steel, they already released it at Comic-Con 2024. They already released the symbols and everything. They haven't released the trailer yet. I'm sure they will release the teaser trailer pretty soon. And not only that, but Fantastic Four is getting a lot of love. And, man, it's just piling up. And I got to give it to Todd Phillips because, again, he's hitting us with another joke movie, and this time Harley Quinn is going to be by his side. But who's playing the lovely Harley Quinn? Well, Lady Gaga's going to be playing
Joaquin Phoenix returning?
Yes, he is. Oh, he's going to be playing, and I can always see Paul's face saying, oh, God.
Oh, you didn't like him? That's right. You didn't like him as a Joker, right?
No.
We'll see what he can do.
Yeah. I thought he brought a whole new twist to it. I mean, I'm all for having different perspectives on different characters there. I thought he won an Oscar for it.
He did a great job as the Joker. Now we'll see if Lady Gaga can deliver.
I just watched it again recently, and I'm still having a hard time. But, you know, I mean, like you said, that was the very beginning stage of him. You know, becoming the Joker. So we'll see if he becomes the mastermind that he's supposed to be in the second one. And Lady Gaga, sometimes she surprises me. But I think that they're just going to try to make it to, I don't know, like, I don't see her as Harley Quinn. Like, she doesn't have that peppy personality.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But she might be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see what happens. I don't have, like, high hopes for this, but I might be surprised.
You never know. And they said that it might turn into a musical. These are just rumors and speculations. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, so don't get your hopes high up.
I didn't like the whole laughing thing that they did in the first one where he's like, I have a condition where I have to laugh.
Well, that's stupid. To be fair, for those of you who don't know, really quick, this movie was in development hell. Martin Scorsese was actually supposed to be directing this movie with Leonardo DiCaprio as the Joker himself. However, that got scrapped and he did Silence, so that was the whole thing. So Todd Phillips came in and said, okay, we're going to do this whole thing, kind of like the Killing Joke and stuff. Now, the only thing I had to say about this was the clown epidemic. And you all know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the clown epidemic, where all people dressed up as clowns, like Pennywise and all that, and started killing people. Now, I don't think that was necessary, but you know people, once the trend goes off, everything just keeps going forward.
Yeah. Well, and Victor, any other comic updates for us here?
I'm also got to say for this one, this one's really going to be special because man, oh man alive. Man, this new, so what was it? This new World War Z kind of thing where Ninja Turtles literally are facing the undead, and that was kick ass. It's a new online game actually where the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles take on the living dead, or the undead in this case, and because there has been living dead, but they're just taking on zombies, and they're still, they're badass, wow, funny, goofy
stuff. Zombies are overdone.
They can be, but if you know how to do them right, like George A. Romero, kick ass to that guy.
Oh, man. Well, Victor, I don't know. You do not write any of this down. You have this memorized. I'm surprised how you can rattle off these several things. Boom, 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 boom.
Like I said, man, I love it. Oh, and to be fair, I also I made a goof on what I said to you before. Sonic is actually Paramount. It's not Universal. I was thinking of another franchise that was Universal, so that's my fault, ladies and gentlemen. It is Paramount. And if you don't know if it is Paramount, you can look on the first movie where literally Sonic is going around the ramp, you can see all the rings on there. So I was like, no, wait, that is Paramount. What am I talking about?
The rings replace the stars in the mountain logo?
Yes. Yep. And like I said, I was...
hey, Victor, you've seen so many countless movies that they're bound to get a few wires mixed up, right?
Like I said, man, movies all day in this head. So, yeah, a bunch of Paramounts and a lot of Universal.
We still got a lot more show to come here, but before we do, we got to make sure to give some love to our next sponsor, CNH Insurance, where they began with the goal of building an agency with the highest of principles, personalized attention, and service. They strive to give everyone who walks through their door special attention and the best customer service possible. It's their priority, and their agents have over 50 years of combined insurance experience, and they're licensed in North Dakota, Minnesota, and even Arizona, too. So for all your insurance needs, give Justin, Jody, or Tammy a call at 218-773-0287 or stop by their offices at 1427 Central Avenue Northwest in East Grand Forks. Hey, we here at GFBS Insurance through CNH Insurance, maybe you should, too.
Why do I feel like this is like a Law Office commercial where a guy should just come out and says, has this ever happened to you? You're entitled to compensation.
CNH has your hookup.
Hey, the guys at CNH, they are awesome. They have always been totally on point with everything that I ever need.
Fair enough.
I remember you've went there a few times, just being here at GFBS over the years. Where
all
they,
I got to do is
I
just make a call to Justin. Takes care of it. Yeah. Just like that. Get a hold of CNH. They are definitely the place to go to.
Fair enough.
218-773-0287. There you go.
Fair enough.
Going to move things along here. Paul, I wish I had a chance. I wanted to see the first episode of this. This past week has just been go, so I haven't. But I did at least watch the trailer, and I looked up a couple of quick articles on it to get the basics here. So, big new Netflix series that is just dominating the Netflix viewership charts. We're talking about Three Body Problem, streaming right now on Netflix. Here's the synopsis for it. A fateful decision made in 1960s China reverberates in the present, where a group of scientists partner with a detective to confront an existential planetary threat.
Do you like sci-fi?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Okay, see, my wife would hate this show. Because she doesn't like sci-fi.
Not a sci-fi person. She would not
but
like Dune.
Anybody, sci-fi. Anybody that likes sci-fi, this is your go-to.
Oh, hell yeah.
This show is awesome. I mean, there are so many things about... I don't want to like have spoilers talking about this show. But, yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy with the wrap-up of the season. Mm. I'm not going to lie. But... like I as soon as you get to like episode 6, you're just going to be like, whoa.
Is this a one and done season limited series, or is this like there's going to be a season 2?
There's going to be a season 2. There better be a season 2.
Well, I saw it's based off like one of the most popular best-selling books in China.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's sold millions of copies in China, one of their best-selling books in decades.
Yeah, so I can kind of give you the premise of it. We reach out, we send a signal to try to make first contact, and then we get a response back, and it says, you're lucky that I received this because I'm a pacifist. Do not respond to this communication, otherwise
dystopia awaits.
Your civilization will end. Oh. And the lady responds back, humanity can't save itself. We need you to. So she responded. What? Like a dumbass.
Wow. Oh, no. Like the curious scientist wanting to examine that in Halo to spread the flood infection, we have this one.
Yep, and so then they get into, so these aliens, they're sending over this technology, which is way more advanced than we have, and it kind of gets into, like, the virtual reality world, but when they're in the virtual reality world, it's like you're there. It's not like our virtual reality. It's like you're actually, like, on the planet.
Which would
and
be cool.
And they kind of go through a series of games. Hmm. And what they're doing is their civilization is coming to an end. Hmm. And so they need to come to Earth, but it's going to take them 400 years to get here. But they've seen that our track of how we progress as a civilization, that we will be way more advanced than them in 400 years when they arrive. So they want to try to figure out how to kill our technology so that when they do arrive, that we won't be able to defeat their military. Yeah. So it's a very interesting story.
Sounds about right.
Well, it sounds like there's so many in-depth, like just arcs where this can just expand and kind of spider web out from. Yeah. And the way you just kind of elaborated on that, it got me. One of my notes for this was I saw it's from one of the main Game of Thrones creators, yes. David Benioff. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, or, okay. Yeah, sure.
So
yeah,
Benioff. So there you go.
Yeah, and I mean the special effects are awesome. Don't watch this with your kids in the room because it gets pretty graphic. But you know, I mean, there's like a cult following of people that think that these aliens are like our new god. Because they're going to come over and they're going to take over our civilization and make, humanity better. Where there's the other ones that are saying, no, they're going to come in, they're going to annihilate us all. So, it's an alien movie.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not right. I was trying to, does this primarily take place in China or does it kind of hop around a bit? Or is it
it's the entire globe.
Yeah.
I think it's episode 6. Once you hit that mark, you're like Oblivion with, I think it was Oblivion with Tom Cruise.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I love that movie.
So I hate it when alien movies are just about like seeing E.T.
Yeah.
This is not an E.T. movie. This is like an Oblivion movie. Because one of the best things about Oblivion is at the very end, all it is this big triangle in space.
Yeah.
You know? So this is one of those type of sci-fi movies. Mm-hmm. And it goes
more about the journey.
Yeah. And it goes into a lot of, things that technology could be in theory realistic. I don't know. I mean, just watch it. It's good.
Streaming on Netflix. Look like it's doing good on the critic aggregate numbers. 80% critics, 79% audience. And I know there's another host from one of the other GFBS shows in the studio saying, I got a new show, dude. I'm all about it. I got to talk to you about it. Also, I just was thinking, I bet it's three-body problem because that's what Paul's all about. It just hit. And sure enough, you and him just kind of nerded out for it for a little bit there. It was great.
I mean, hell, dude. I mean,
Victor, has this been on your radar?
I mean, yeah, man. I haven't gotten to see it like Dale. I've been so super busy, but I wanted to see this. Everyone was talking about it. I'm like, all right, I got to see this now because, I mean, I love freaking sci-fi, as you know. It's one of my favorite genres. And, I mean, Paul already hyped it up enough. So, I mean, I got
to
find time.
To my list.
Yeah, I got to find time to watch it. And like X-Files said, the truth is out there. So. Well,
Victor, something you did see is our next movie on the agenda here. We're talking about Imaginary. Ooh. And I remember, I was like, what is this movie about again? And when I was doing my info for it, I pulled it up. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is the Haunted Teddy Bear movie.
Yes.
So hit theaters a few weeks back. It's about a woman returns to her childhood home to discover that the imaginary friend she left behind is very real. And unhappy she abandoned them.
Oh, dude. Yeah, he was pissed. Like, he was pissed. Like, if you think, like, if you see that fairy
This is not Ted.
No, this not, is not. Not even close. Like, Ted was funny and nice, but, but this guy, no, he's pissed. Like, he is pissed that he got left behind, and you don't want to leave an imaginary friend behind. He will not let you live it down. So, this movie was incredible. Like, Blumhouse, I mean...
Yeah, they're they're raising their profile right up there with A24 in recent years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Universal, dude, they just kill every freaking time. And they, like, Blumhouse was no exception to this. They literally did this movie incredible. The effects in here, just like, there was no CGI. There was just practical, and I love the practical effects. I don't want to go into it. Oh, yeah. There was practical effects in there. If you see people in...
No CGI.
No, there was no CGI.
Just the glowy eyes on the teddy bear?
No.
Or is that all practical too?
No, there was no glowy eyes. There was no anything. There was actual practical effects. You'll see it in there. And I got to give it to them, dude. They weren't faking it. They were really doing it for real. I thought they were going to be like, oh, here's the practical jump scare, you know, the visual jump scares and all this other seen it before.
I was gonna ask you guys, I saw the trailer and it had me thinking, like, okay, this looks like it's hitting the check boxes here with like kind of like a little childhood, that's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but it works. And I was like, I bet there's a lot of jump scares, but it sounds like it's way more creative than that.
No, it's just the way they get into it. Like, this is like, it's like Paul's daughter when she went to go see, you know, Godzilla and, you know, Kong with you guys. Like, seeing that from a young perspective, like, imagine if you didn't have any friends. So you made up a friend, okay? And this friend tells you to do all these crazy things, and it's like, well, he's not doing me any wrong. He's not doing me any harm. He really cares about me, but he's asking this little girl, and if you could see that little girl back there, she's like, well, we're just playing a game, you know? And I have to write all these checks. I have to get all these things on the list that he asked me to get, but he's asking her to do, like, really dangerous stuff. Like, it's bad. And you would think because, like, and it's funny how imaginary friends are like ghosts. You know, they all ghosts have unfinished business. That's why they don't completely cross over. So, of course, they're not going to go for the adults because adults are obviously not going to believe in a spiritual entity, like something beyond them. So who do you go to? You go to children, because children, you know, they're so impressionable. They believe anything, and they see something cool. They're like, oh, man, this is so awesome. But in this movie, I mean, like, her imaginary friend was just like telling this little girl, like, you know, I have her now. And if you want her back, you're going to have to literally come back to where we left off before. And like I said, I want to dive into it so badly because you guys need to see this movie. It goes so deep within, like, the realms of everything that we think that, like, it's like childhood. You know, if you've ever seen the movie Tag, and this is based on a true story, about friends who literally have been playing a game of tag since they were little kids, and now they're adults and they're still playing it. And the tagline, funny, right, in the movie is, we didn't stop playing because we got old. We got old because we stopped playing. And that touched a chord with me just like this. It's like, you know what? How many times have we, like, because we're adults and we, you know, we have things to do and, you know, we got wives and children and all this other stuff. But it's like when we're a moment alone and we see our collection of action figures or comics or whatever, like, how many times do we, like, sat alone and said, dude, like, I remember I used to read this, or I used to watch this movie when I was a kid. Like, this is great.
It's one of the biggest problems I have, like, you know, because I have, you know, young children.
Of course.
And you know, they want to play. And I'm like, I have, like, no imagination anymore.
Right.
You know, and it's really frustrating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they want to play and they want to do these things. And I remember, you know, having Transformers and setting up bases with G.I. Joe.
Making a fort. Right?
Making all this stuff. And that's what they want to do. But I'm just like, I got to do the dishes.
Right?
Yeah. You know, like, it's frustrating.
Yeah, and it sucks because it's like, you know, when you're a kid, the world is just not even passing you by. It's just like this, you know? It's just like slow and everything's fun. But when you become an adult, it sucks. And it's like, well,
no,
like,
time.
Yeah,
no,
like Paul
time.
Said.
Just this morning, my son, he's got new shoes and he was showing me how he can run like a tiger.
Dad, check it out.
You know, I'm like, that's awesome.
Right?
Yeah, you could totally run like a tiger. Because he's like, yeah, tigers, they jump like this. And what, you know, and I was like, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
You know? Victor, it sounds like this so movie, do it. Imaginary, really, really, you said it struck a chord with you, but it sounded like it really resonated with you.
Oh, dude, like, you guys, if you guys get time ever, you guys need to watch this movie. It can be a little scary. I wouldn't recommend it to children.
It's
PG-13. It is PG-13, but you know,
but it sounds like a hard PG-13.
It is, and I mean, yes, I know kids.
PG-13. Yeah, it's PG-13.
That's what I said too. I thought it was going to be rated R, but no, it was PG-13.
I had an interesting on the next Weird Cinema episode. I think, the last week's one. Icky and I were talking. Icky was totally anti PG-13 horror movies, and I was like,
thought that I was the same.
You know, they gotta serve as a gateway to, you know, to the next generation of scary movie fans. That's where they gotta start, because you know they can't get access legally to your R-rated movies unless you got a very lenient parent. But you know, they gotta start somewhere, and then that could pave the way. They could do them well, just like they could do R-rated scary movies well.
I do agree with him on that. Yeah, it is. And though I don't believe in the gateway thing,
Icky is just totally anti PG-13.
I'm the same way.
Oh, you are.
Oh, believe me, me and him are on the same page. I do believe that all horror movies should be rated R. There should be no, you know, training wheels for this. If you're gonna go in all the way.
It sounds like this is an exception.
Yes, but like I said, man, this one
barely a PG-13 movie.
But trust me, if they just go a little bit,
like extra couple drops of blood here.
If they turned up the volume, they would have literally done it for real, bro.
Victor, it sounds like this is an early candidate for your top 10 movies of the year.
You guys have got to see this. When you see this, you got to tell me, because you will love it. Trust me.
Oh, Victor, man. Dude, I dig the passion, man. Awesome.
It's really good. Like,
I'm gonna have to keep my eyes for this when it hits streaming, or if there's still some matinees. More to come here on big screens and TV streams, but first, we got some words from Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%.
There you go. You heard what the ad said. Go to gfbestsource.com at the bottom of the homepage. Click the link to go to the click the link on the shield to go over to Redemption Shield and order today. All right, so got some upcoming new releases that I kind of run down here. Curious if any of these will catch your eyes. We kind of already touched on a couple of them here, so notable streaming releases here. So this is what I got, Three Body Problem, that is streaming on Netflix, and Paul has already covered that. 100 Days to Indie, this is streaming on Netflix and Paramount Plus. So if you're from, I kind of covered NASCAR Full Speed on here, the kind of docuseries interviewing kind of like a season worth of races with various NASCAR drivers. And Netflix also has that with F1 with Drive to Survive. Awesome, awesome docuseries on Netflix. So now they got this with IndyCar, 100 Days to Indy, all about drivers on their season of races leading up to the biggest race of the year for them, the Indianapolis 500. Season 2 is actually just under a month away as well. A Gentleman in Moscow, streaming on Netflix Plus, about a Russian count who is spared execution after the Russian Revolution, but is forced to live under house arrest for decades in an attic of an opulent hotel, and starring Ian McGregor and Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
I do want to see this, just because, actually, quick fact, these two are actually in a relationship together in real life.
Aren't they married, right?
They're not married. They're boyfriend and girlfriend, and I want to see how they act together, because they act together in Birds of Prey, which I thought was really cool. So
that's right.
So I wanted to see how they act within this movie. This is going to be interesting.
Next up, We Were the Lucky Ones, streaming series on Hulu, starring Joey King and Logan Lerman as members of a Polish-Jewish family torn apart during World War II, and it's executive produced by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon behind the camera there.
Yes.
So once I saw that, I'm like, all right, that gives me all the credit I need. If they're behind this, I got to add this to my queue to watch. I've been hearing a lot of good buzz for this next one here. I do not have Apple TV Plus, but it's a two-part documentary called Steve with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Two-part documentary all about the life and career of the one and only Steve Martin, and I've been hearing nothing but glowing praise for this.
I wanted to see this. I don't have Apple TV myself and I wanted to see it because I love me some Steve Martin, dude. He's hilarious.
One more Apple TV Plus series, Sugar. And it's about a private investigator in Los Angeles, played by Colin Farrell, who was hired to investigate the disappearance of a legendary Hollywood producer's granddaughter. Notable new theatrical movies, got three of them here. Monkey Man, it's in theaters now.
Still want to see that.
It's where an anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his brother and continue to systematically victimize the poor and the powerless.
I want to see this. I love revenge movies, man.
Also in theaters, The First Omen, it opened last weekend. A young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church, but encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. I saw the trailer for this. Here's an R-rated horror movie.
Exactly.
And this one, it opens tonight with a couple of evening sneak peek showings, but officially full open tomorrow. Civil War.
Yes.
A journey across a dystopian future America following a team of military embedded journalists as they race against time to reach DC before rebel factions descend upon the White House. If I have enough life left in me tonight, I may try and catch this tonight. We'll see. Oh, gosh. Guys, got a pick of the week from all those?
I mean, I want to see Civil War. I want to see Monkey Man because I love me the revenge genre. If you can't you beat him, get even, man. Just
Civil
get
War
even.
For me. Civil War for me. Sorry. That the trailers for that have me all in on that. It's yeah. Crazy as dystopian.
Civil War should be good, but I am probably going to be a little bit upset with this movie because I can already tell, even with the timing. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to make this out to be a Trump movie.
You never know, man.
Guy, critics will come at it at a certain angle.
Yeah, the director, I'm sure he's a liberal, and he's going to try to make it so like the president is like Trump in office, and now we're in a civil war because he's taken, you know, he's going to be a dictator going against the American civilization, which is a bullshit. So
honestly.
You think they may push their own personal politics in there?
Yeah, they're going to, they got it there.
I mean, they already did that with SNL, so I mean, it would be kind of hard-boiled to see that they would do that with this.
I still think it's going to be a good movie, but I can already see that, you know, it's going to be
it's going to be biased.
Yeah, it's going to be a leftist, stupid.
Well,
interpretation.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I'm going to try and see it this weekend. I'll make sure to report back 2 weeks from today on our next show.
Oh, I'm going to see it myself. I'm going to see it.
Some GFBS plugs here as we wind down for some awesome shows we did earlier this week. Make sure to check out our interview with Dennis Jensted from the Spirit of America Bike and Car Show that happened this past Monday. No, excuse me, Wednesday, yesterday, talking about an awesome vintage auto show hitting the Alaris Center this weekend.
Hey. No, Dennis. No, Gail.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep, Gail Jensted. Dennis was one of the other people that was supposed to be joining him. That's right. Yeah, we had they had some rotating people in and out on that one that were supposed to make it but didn't. But yeah, Gail Jensted. Thank you for the correction, Paul.
I don't think it's Jensted. I think just we'll just go with Gail.
Gail. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
That's for Dale.
Gail. Yes. Yes. Dale failed. And we'll go with that. That's my last name. Anyways, Spirit of America Bike and Car Show. Gail's talking all about it. It's happening this weekend at the Lara Center. We here at GFBS will be there to help cover it. So that's kind of like your great preview to get you all set up for it. Also, check out yesterday's episode of Mixed Culture with Roosevelt and Kimmy. They have on, I guess, a local one-man band sensation, the one and only Pete Moss. He was there jamming out with some tunes there on Mixed Culture. Check that out. Finally, tune in to an all-new Fork Sports Highway to get the final word on the NCAA basketball championship game and the latest in the NBA, NHL, and MLB. Those are just a few of over a dozen shows we do every week here on GFBS. Just search GFBS on your favorite podcast and social media apps to stay up to date. All right, guys, quick takes. What have you watched this past week or plan on watching soon that we have yet to talk about? Paul, let's start it off with you.
All right, well, it's actually on, you know, like the last few shows, I haven't really had a lot to talk about, but it's been jam-packed lately. Yeah, so, you know, with that body 3-2-1 or body problem, whatever.
Three-body problem.
Three-body problem, watching that. Going out to see, you know, Kong X Godzilla. I just wrapped up the season of Shogun.
Oh, yeah.
And Shogun on Hulu is...
awesome.
I was gonna say, when you reviewed it on your our last show 2 weeks ago, of like the first, I think you were through the first half of the episodes by then, and you were super high on what the rest had to offer there.
Now, I mean, this is one of the ones, like, again, my wife wouldn't like, because you have to read.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty much all subtitled. But the storyline of this and the acting in this is just awesome.
Oh yeah,
this show is, I would recommend anybody to watch this show. And honestly the season finale, like the last episode,
oh yeah,
it was like you wouldn't have expected to happen what happened.
Oh no.
And again, this is one, make sure your kids are not in the room.
Yeah, because it's pretty graphic, man.
Victor, you saw this too or some?
Oh, I loved it. And like Paul said, you wouldn't expect for them to do what they had done. And it's like, okay.
And I want to say that this is
my list on Hulu.
I want to say that this is pretty historically, I mean, not like a star as far as like the story itself, but historically accurate as far as I think like the wardrobes,
yeah,
the way that they, you know, the culture,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. I think that they did a pretty good job of making this pretty accurate.
Yeah, they did. They definitely did their homework, and these guys were perfect to a detail. Yeah.
It's a great story. It's great acting. I would recommend anybody watch this.
And the swordplay.
It sounds like if you were to do a top 10 series or TV shows of the year, it sounds like this would be your runaway winner almost.
Yeah, I would,
or
actually,
at least runaway top three.
I would actually put this above Three Body Problem.
Oh wow, I really.
Three Body Problem, like that's sci-fi. This one is more
historical.
It's really
I would say historical, the characters themselves that are in the show, you really get to know them a lot better. So I think of watching movies like reading a book, but I hate reading.
Yeah.
So if I have a movie that's like reading a book that I don't have to read, then I consider that a really good movie. And this could be a movie, but it would be a really long movie.
Yes. Very long movie.
They make sure to let this one breathe.
Yeah.
But it's grounded, though, and that's what makes it so good. Like, and unlike, I do love reading books, but this one, I mean, just the characters, like you say, you really get to know a lot about them, and it's so grounded. I know a lot of people don't like reading subtitles, go figure, but if I love it, and trust me, you're going to get a lot out of it more than what you got out of something else. Trust me.
There's a lot of really fantastic production that went into this show.
Yes.
And I got to give props to the director, whoever made it. I would recommend this to anybody.
FX Spare No Expense. Awesome.
I forgot to add it to my queue 2 weeks ago when we were last talking about it. I just did it now where I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta see this, because I just remember when you were talking about it 2 weeks ago, I'm like, this sounds like must-see stuff.
Oh, it's so good.
It is definitely a must-see.
Any other quick takes, Paul?
Nothing I can think of offhand. We're going to doing the remote at the Spirit of America car show this weekend, but other than that, no, I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing some old school cars and bikes this weekend.
Yeah.
I'll jump in next here. I'm almost finally wrapped up with season 4 of Dark Side of the Ring TV docuseries. I had a couple recent episodes on Bam Bam Bigelow and his rise and fall. And then I'm in the middle of WCW Bash at the Beach 2000. I won't even get into the details on that, but it's like, well, a lot of people associate it with the quick downward spiral of WCW. A&E, they're continuing their amazing biography series. I think they're taking a break. He's going to come back in a couple of months. I don't know how they have the time to pump these out week after week. I mean, they must have multiple teams. So they did one on Roman Reigns. That was a really good watch. Paul Heyman actually directed it, manager. So, he kind of narrates throughout. He kind of jumps in intermittently throughout to kind of, and they have all these in-depth interviews with Roman Reigns throughout it and his family. And that it was actually, it's not just like a cookie cutter puff piece just praising his success in recent years, but he actually tells a lot of new enlightening details about his struggles and how he wasn't happy that, you know, he couldn't get the crowd behind him until recent years. So highly recommend tracking that one down to watch A&E biography on Roman Reigns. And then the last thing I have is X-Men 97, keeping up with that. Maybe I'll save going into detail on it until the next episode, until Victor's all caught up. I know episode 5 just dropped last night. I saw episodes 3 and 4. Mm. Episode 3 was a Jubilee episode.
Yes.
And that was actually pretty interesting. I actually thought where they go with there is pretty good. Well, how they, she gets trapped in a certain scenario and how she busts out. They get creative with it, and actually, and then the back half of that episode, they, you know, you thought Storm was done after her early exit in episode 2, but they find a way to keep her in the mix. And this, so good stuff with episode 3. Episode 4, that was episode 4. Episode 3 was all about Jean Grey dealing with the cliffhanger they had at the end of episode 2. Wait a second, two Jean Greys? Is there a clone?
I know, right? We got a Madeline Pryor coming on here.
So. Yeah, and it sounds like Mr. Sinister may or may not be involved. So, yes. Episodes 3 and 4 delivered for me. If you could say a Jubilee episode delivered for me in this new X-Men 97 run, then we're all, I think we're in good graces here for the rest of the season. So
they're doing pretty good. So, I mean, they keep it up.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a little bit more of a deep dive in the last episode. And finally, I saw WrestleMania 40 last weekend. Too much wrestling last weekend. It was like 6 hours of wrestling each night, if you include the two-hour pre-show on Saturday and Sunday. Somehow found time to watch it all. Cody Rhodes finished his story, became the new WWE Universal Champion. Great match, great storytelling, 5 stars all the way. Damian Priest cashed in his Money in the Bank to defeat Drew McIntyre, who just won the title from Seth Rollins in a great moment. Sami Zayn ending Gunther's record-long Intercontinental title run. So lots of great moments throughout. This is definitely, I want to say, upper tier of WrestleManias, of all 40 WrestleManias. I can say early thoughts, it's probably a top 5 WrestleMania of all time. So that's high praise. But Victor, I'll throw it to you.
Oh, man. Man, there's a lot of stuff happening this year, and it was like, and I'm telling you, man, it's going fast. I mean, I got to see Sydney Sweeney literally in a movie called Immaculate. Was very, very good, and I got to give her props, man. She did not hold back in this movie. Immaculate really was a great movie. I mean, I'll say this. I will not want to be a nun, because those women don't play. They're scary as hell, and they don't play none of that crap. So, I mean, that was just a scary, scary movie in for the religious sense. I got to give it up, of course, to X-Men, of course, for being so amazing. I mean, they're doing
X-Men 97,
yo. Yeah, man, they're doing it real, and they're keeping it going. And so I appreciate that very heavily because, man.
I really want to watch that, but I won't support Disney. So if one of you wants to just give me your code for like a week, I'll smash out X-Men and then I'll just cancel it.
I ask my sister and she'd give it to you. Like I said, yeah, Disney's gone off the rails over the years, but man, they did it right with X-Men. So I shout out to them. Hopefully they do Spider-Man next. I gotta say, television shows like Shogun. Oh my gosh, man! Like, I didn't think they would go as far as they did. I'm not gonna tell you what happened because, like I said, you got to tune in for yourself because. Lord have mercy, those guys really did it up right, boy. And I gotta give it up, of course, to the people over at Warner Brothers. Even though Warner Brothers and Discovery, I don't care for Discovery because it's a nature channel. It is know nothing about making movies, but I will give it up to them for, of course, the Godzilla thing. Even though it did have a little ifs and hands there, it still did its you know, proper justice. So I'll give it to them.
They'll get a hit every once in a while, right?
They will. And, you know, maybe if they didn't have Discovery on their backs, they would have the freedom to do so like they've done for 75 years and a lot more. I really got to talk about, of course, the movie that is coming out very, very soon. My boy Caesar, although he is not in this one, it is beyond his control now. Planet of the Apes, boys. That's right. Planet of the Apes, or Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And literally, this is going to be awesome.
It's coming soon.
Oh, it's coming very soon.
About a month-ish?
Oh, yeah. And I'm really, really excited because, I want to see them all defeat this evil king. And Idris Elba is going to be playing one of the apes in there, and I can already hear his voice in there. I mean, just raw, angry passion. And I
love Idris Elba. I mean, his voice, man, it resonates.
I know, right? Oh, I just... what else can that man do? Like, he's a DJ, he's an actor, he's like...
Safari hunter.
Right? Like, he's a badass. Like, what else can this man do? He's so fucking amazing. And I gotta
I got a YouTube clip I gotta show you guys after the show.
I got a feeling I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, is it a certain music video?
No, it's oh, no. Like it was when he goes to the coffee shop.
Yeah, oh. And he orders. Yeah, he showed us the slice.
Yeah, okay, he did show us this. Yes, yeah. And it's so it's great. So funny. Count to 10, see it again. Yeah.
But and I also got to give it up to this is the 30th. That's what I'm talking about. 30th anniversary of Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
That's, they're actually re-releasing it in theaters, right?
Yes, yeah. And I'm very excited. Anyone who says they don't like the prequels, I say, Jacques, sir. Double-bladed lightsabers. Come on. Yep, like, yep. Seriously.
Go ahead and like the prequels, Victor.
Come on. No, come on. Anyone, come on. Double-bladed lightsabers. Double-bladed lightsabers. Oh, boo yourselves. Come on.
I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. Double-bladed lightsabers. And Ray Parker, if any of you do not know who that man is a master of martial arts. He not only was in X-Men, the first 2000 live-action movie as Toad, but he came back many, but before he did Toad, he did Darth Maul for the 1990, of course, classic that it is today. And oh, he was amazing. And he also played Snake Eyes in two G.I. Joe.
May, when I think, is when it's coming out, the 30th anniversary, yes. The re-release, right?
Yes, yep. And I'm very excited to see it because, I mean, come on.
There you go.
I'm ready for it.
Nerd out, man. Nerd out.
Oh, I'm excited, man. Star Wars.
Are you going
man.
To a big Star Wars rope?
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to try to find my other one. I can't find my other one at this point. I don't know what I did with it. I think the last time I wore it, it was.
You're going to bring a lightsaber?
I'm going to find the expensive one I can.
Yes, the $200 model.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to find the Yoda one, and I want to bring that one to the theater because I want to glow up the night, bro. I want to glow up the night.
Well, hey, I'm happy that you're happy.
Oh, hey, fair enough,
all
man.
Right. All right. Well, hey, guys, this is great. We banged it out here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us live for all future episodes. You guys have anything before we wrap up here? Want to make sure we got everything covered?
I got one thing. Mm-hmm. Because I just realized this. I don't know if we can see it on the screen.
But got a little bit of a buddy there. Oh,
so this is our little thing from Raptor PCS. But I just realized that this is basically Genin-Ba from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh. Not a hardcore Dragon Ball. I saw the Cell Saga, yeah, but I do not recognize
this
that.
This looks just like Genin-Ba from Dragon Ball Z.
We're have to pay Brock a visit. You got a little copyright infringement going on there, Brock? No.
Yeah. Genin-Ba.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway. He does kind of look like him a little bit more. Yeah.
We'll be like, hey, Brock, we know your inspirations. No, we love it. We have Raptor's awesome. They've helped us out a lot here at the studio. All right. Well, with that, thank you, everyone, for tuning in and joining us on big screens and TV streams. We welcome you to join us every other Thursday at 1 p.m. here on GFBS. Find past episodes by subscribing to Grand Forks Best Source everywhere you find podcasts, or you can even search big screens and TV streams on your favorite podcast app to get instant access. Make sure to like, share, and follow Grand Forks Best Source and hit that notification bell so you get the alerts for whenever we go live. Many thanks for having us part of your day. We really, really appreciate it. Victor, thank you, man. Bringing it as always.
Thank you, guys. And I always enjoy nerding out with you guys. And remember, if you want to nerd out with me and Paul and Dale, then you got to go to Facebook, Twitter, however you're going to get this show. Just go online and find us because we want to nerd out with you. And don't forget, summer movies are coming up. So get your popcorn, your girlfriend, or whoever you got and go see the movies.
Get your popcorn ready.
That's right. You hear that popping? Let's pop up to the movies.
Many thanks to Rockin' and Rollin' producer Paul.
Always our favorite. Always our favorite.
We'll see you all in 2 weeks we're going to keep that summer blockbuster movie show theme going. I think we're going to be talking about Civil War.
Oh, hell yeah.
Talking more X-Men 97.
Hell yeah.
And so much more. Tune in 2 weeks to find out. All right, we'll see you then, everyone. Have a great rest of your week. Goodbye.
See ya.